You're listening to The Art of Daily Practice, and this session is called How to Be a Highly Original Copycat. No songwriter or creative artist likes to think of herself as an imitator, right? But here's the funny thing. Careful imitation of works that you admire can actually give you more original ideas and fresh material than the songwriters who claim that nobody influences them. Each day, you can reach out and pluck some classic song or timeless lyric like a peach. You can listen to it deeply, as we've planned in previous lessons. You can copy great lines of lyric down into your copybook. You can identify which techniques the songwriter used to create the song's lyric and its music. And finally, once you've sucked all the educational nutrients you can out of that peach of a lyric, you can use its essence to infuse new works of your very own. So for example, once you've analyzed exactly what's going on in a certain passage of lyric, you could keep the form of the lyric but change the content, or you could keep the content of the lyric but change the form. Let's look at each of these methods of imitation with a little more detail. So, imitation technique number one, keep the form, change the content. Here's an example of keeping the form of a line but totally changing the content. Let's say you hear a song that celebrates the actions of some firefighters who gave their lives in the attempt to save others. So this line from a news story catches your ear. They raced toward the flames that others fled. Aside from the subject matter of that line, the form of the line itself is appealing. There's some nice sound going on between the word raced and the word flames. They raced toward the flames that others fled. And there's nice alliteration there between flames and fled, too. You could experiment with using the structure of that line as a template for writing about other topics. They raced toward the flames that others fled could become, she fled the comforts that others clung to. Could be the start of a song about a woman who leads a remarkable life. He embraced this woman that others shunned. That could kickstart a song about a man who loves somebody that society didn't accept. They climbed toward the heights that so many had fallen from. That could be about mountain climbers. These all pay some kind of nod to that line, they race toward the flames that others fled, but they bring in new content. So they keep the rough form, the structure of that line, and they bring a new topic into it. So next time you encounter a line that you love in a lyric, experiment with using its basic structure or the gist of it to write lines of your own about other topics in your own life. So, the second imitation technique is to keep content while changing the form. So let's say you encounter a really boring line, something like, she was distressed. That's pretty plain. It doesn't even really stand out as an idea for a line in a song, right? Hardly sounds like it's worth saying, let alone singing. So how might a writer get that message across using a more interesting form? Try using different figures of speech and different writing techniques to bring that boring line to life, and get ready for some cheesy examples. She was distressed could become, and again, these are just cheesy example ideas, she was about as happy as a snowman in spring, which is a simile. Or you could use understatement. You could say, she was not exactly singing. Or you could do something like building up a more complete story about somebody, like, she had money in the bank, she had a full fridge, and all the misery she could eat, which is a form of a technique called anticlimax in writing, where you set the listener up to hear something. It seems to be building up somewhere, and then the last line is a takeaway of some kind. She had money in the bank, a full fridge, and all the misery she could eat. So in the examples given above, the core sentence, the core content of the sentence is basically the same. The message is, she was distressed, but in all three examples, there's some woman who is unhappy. But just saying she was distressed is a boring way to say it. So use any and all creative techniques you like to try and bring lines to life. I often look over drafts of my own songs and look for these lines that, like, they're sort of really clunky. They tell something important to the story, but they're boring. And then I try to dress them up with various figures of speech like that. So, come with me back to the 15th century for a second, because you've got to meet this guy named Desiderius Erasmus Rotterodamus. We can call him Erasmus of Rotterdam for short, I guess. Erasmus was this guy who liked to spend his time playing around with form and content in endless iterations. He's famous, actually, in certain academic circles for deliberately rewriting the simple phrase, "Your letter pleased me greatly," for hours on end. Erasmus believed that writers should take on a variety of topics or a variety of content. He also felt that you should practice expressing that content in a wide variety of possible forms. Erasmus practiced what he preached very well. He demonstrated 150 different ways to say, "Your letter pleased me greatly." So, for example, he wrote things like, "Your letter brought me much pleasure," "The greatest joy was occasioned to me by your letter," "Your letter was off the hook." I don't think he wrote that last one, but you get the idea. So if you've ever heard that proverb, "Repetition is the mother of skill," that's very, very true. And very few people on this planet spend as much time repeatedly rewriting one line as Erasmus did. To write better songs and to make ourselves better songwriters in the process, we could all be a little more Erasmus-y, especially considering that as songwriters, we tend to repeat one line over and over in a song, right? The title line or the chorus gets a lot of repetition. The listener tends to hear it sometimes as many as 16 times before a song is over. So it's worth taking some time as a songwriter and making sure that you're expressing that line in a very, very interesting and colorful way, in a way that bears repeating. Let's talk about four things called categories of change. These are four categories of change. In the tradition of rhetoric, which was Erasmus's business, there are four basic ways that you can change a piece of writing or a piece of speech, and they are called the four categories of change. And for short, I think of them as the four cats. Meow. So let's say you've got a line of lyric that you want to play around with, and you have a feeling it could just be a little bit better. You could add something to the line. You could subtract something that's already there. You could rearrange its elements into a new order, or you could replace selected elements. So those are the four categories of change: add, subtract, rearrange, replace. These categories of change work equally well for altering passages of music too, and they're great for brainstorming things you could do. You could use any one of those four cats to a line of lyric, to a rhyme scheme, a particular song section, a song's overall structure, a chord progression. Basically, you can apply the four cats to just about anything in songwriting. They're great for brainstorming ideas. So they also happen to be a great way to invent variations whenever you find yourself stumped when writing a song. They can be useful to keep in mind while you're rewriting and revising too. So let's say you've got a passage of music. You could add notes to it. You could add chord changes. You could add notes to a chord to extend it, like changing a C to a C major 7, for example. You could add a counter melody, and so on. So that's the add category of change. For the subtraction category of change, you could subtract notes to see what happens. You could take out all of the chords and just leave the melody entirely unaccompanied. You could subtract notes from a specific chord to simplify it. Or you could subtract the weakest sections from a song to shorten it, or to make room for rewritten sections that are better. You could rearrange the notes of the melody, playing it entirely in reverse, for example. You could rearrange the lines of lyric within a particular verse. You could rearrange the order of sections in an entire song. Or you could even rearrange what instruments play which notes. And finally, you could replace any note with another. You could replace any chord with another, replace any instrument with another, any musical key with another, and any single line of lyric with another line of lyric, so on and so forth. So these four categories of change are really, really useful for making edits to things. They're good also for just for educational purposes, creatively tinkering with the work of other songwriters, messing it up a little bit. And they're also great for brainstorming ideas for anything that you happen to be stuck on. A lot of songwriters have trouble finishing songs. And I think keeping the four categories of change in mind, add, subtract, replace, rearrange, is a really great framework. Lets you brainstorm more ideas very quickly and find a way forward when you're stuck. Another word about originality, too. One danger is that you don't want to end up sounding too much like any one artist or copying any one song too closely. So it may be that you studied one role model for a very long time, and now it's time to maybe dig back a little further along music's family tree. Who was your role model's role models? Who did they collaborate with? Whose work did your favorite artist admire? What did she read? What places did she live in? Who did she listen to? What else did she like to do with her time? No artist operates in a vacuum. Each one of us absorbs influences and reacts to those influences in a unique way that helps us create our own style slowly over time. Each one of us is another forking limb on the very, very long tree of musical history. And each one of us selectively takes cues from those who came before, and then we take those cues in a new direction. So, for example, through Jeff Buckley, who's one of my favorite musicians, I was introduced to Led Zeppelin and to French songbird Edith Piaf. As it turns out, Jeff and I have similar tastes in other areas, too. We both have listened to Duke Ellington, Miles Davis, Nina Simone, Merle Haggard, on and on. The great thing about this is that even if you're alone in the middle of nowhere, writing songs on an empty porch in the woods somewhere, and even if you can't even hear the nearest highway, you're still part of a rich tradition of music and poetry. You still belong to something much bigger than you that came before you and will go on after you. It can be very, very encouraging sometimes to remember that you're never really alone as a songwriter. Instead, you sprout from the work of your creative influences, and you may influence others in turn someday. So look back as far as you can into your role models' role models. Listen with some variety, and remember, you are just the latest sprout on a very, very tall tree. A final word here about plagiarism. Imitation is not plagiarism. Bear in mind that if you use someone else's work as a base for creating your own works, if you want these little exercises in imitation to be things that you can claim as your own work, you have to make changes that are significant enough that the song truly does become transformed into a totally new work. So that usually involves multiple significant changes to something. Just changing a few words of another writer's lyric might teach you something. You might learn something from that process. But just changing a few words doesn't make the altered lyric totally your own work. At best, that's just a new arrangement of another writer's intellectual property. So to be original, your alterations do need to be significant enough to change the work thoroughly, changing it so much that it's basically a new song with a unique melody and unique lyrics of its own. So, in closing, do not isolate yourself from these rich traditions of poetry and writing and songwriting and music composition that we've inherited. Learn from what came before. Imitate songs that you love and change them thoroughly using the four categories of change, so that you not only learn something, but you also have a shot at creating something original and interesting while you're learning. You don't find many deals better than that. Thanks for listening to this session. Be sure to check out the worksheet, and then we have one more session in this section. See you there.